Well, listen, brothers and sisters, the title of the message today, somewhat playfully, is, you know, stop yoking around. Stop yoking around, all right? The Lord's going to talk to us today about a yoke and a burden. He talks to us about our yokes and burdens, and we'll look into this image now in a moment. But I'd like to talk about the gospel in three stages. The first stage would be the description that the Lord gives us of our struggles, and then something of a prescription, and then thirdly and finally a depiction of what healing and coming out of these burdens looks like. So, with all that in mind, we start with the description. The Lord simply says, he says, look, he says, come to me. You're labored. You're heavily burdened. You know, the Lord knows. We carry with us many, many burdens, labors, difficulties. Burdens, worries, anxieties, regrets. Or is it just me? Are you praying with me this morning? All right. Now, by the way, it's not so much labor that is our problem, but the burden of labor. You know, even Adam and Eve, before the original sin, had a work to do, right? They were to keep and tend the garden. But after original sin, work takes on a kind of a burdensome quality. The Lord said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow will you get your food to eat. So our sins have brought upon us a kind of a heavy, burdensome quality of life. Because of itself, work should be a delight and a joy for us. To share in God's creative work and to fill the earth and subdue it was our original dignity and goal, to be co-workers with God. But since sin, burdens have come to us. The Lord says, come to me, come to me. I know that you find life burdensome and difficult at times. Sometimes it's just those ordinary, you know, where things start to kind of pile up in our life. And some of us have very powerful and sudden tragedies that come upon us. One of our families is one of the three houses that were burned to the ground over here at 18th and C. One of our families was here this morning. And if you want to be a little more generous in the poor box, we're going to be very generous. We're going to take care of them. So we have those sudden things that rock us back in our heels. But for the most part, it's the daily burden and difficulties. And so the Lord says, look, he simply describes it for us. You come to me now. Come to me. But then he doesn't just say, I'll just take everything away and everything will be fine and roses and flowers and everything's just fine. And that's not what he says. So we go from the description to the prescription. He says, come to me. Now he goes on to say, I'm going to sort of take some of what he says a little bit out of order here. But he says, look, you come to me now. He says, now, he says this, I'll give you rest, but how? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's not saying there are no burdens, that there is no yoke. We'll talk about a yoke in a minute, but he's not saying there's no cross, there's no burdens in life if you come to me. But he's saying, there's a very important word in there. You take my yoke upon you, my burden. And that little word, my, is very, very important. So the first aspect of the prescription is to hear that word, my yoke, my burden. You see, we talked about these the last 2 weeks, a whole theology of the cross and of suffering we've been looking at the last 2 weeks, if you remember. And the Lord said, if you're not willing to take up a cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. That was last week. So there is a cross that the Lord has for us. And there is a burden. But notice again that word, my. Because the cross, the yoke, the burden, if you will, that the Lord has for us is suited for us. It's part of his will for us. We need crosses and difficulties in our life. You've heard me before on these things, but again, the role of suffering. It keeps us humble, keeps us dependent upon God, reminds us of the passing quality of this world, gives us wisdom. We learn a lot. Like, whether we like to admit it or not, we need crosses, we need challenges, we need difficulties, because they help us to grow. I could go on and on. I'm not here to repeat all of what we said the last 2 weeks. But again, the Lord does have a cross and a burden for us. Here's the problem, though. That word my, what we do is that we heap additional wood up on our shoulders. If the Lord's got a cross for us to carry, all right. But then we start adding to our burdens. And they're not burdens that the Lord intends for us. Some of those burdens just come from our sinfulness. Some of them come from our refusal to trust Him. Some of them just come from our own lack of reflectiveness that we don't pray as we ought. For example, go back to the story of Martha and Mary in the Bible. We all know that story very well. And Martha invites Jesus to her house, and He comes. And Jesus is delighted to come and sit there and preach and teach. But Martha says, you got to have a good meal. Got to get a perfect meal for the Savior. He's going to remember this meal. And she gets up and she starts preparing that meal. And she's busy, busy, busy. And then it says, Martha, burdened with much labor, finally comes and says, tell that wretched sister of mine to help me. And you're not even saying something. She's angry at not just Martha, but she's angry at Jesus because He hasn't told her to get up and help. Does that sound familiar? And you know, we do that. We go off on all these, we make real quick rash choices. We're going to get involved in some big project or all these different things, and we're running all over God's green acre. And then we're worn out and tired, and we're saying, Lord, help me. I'm trying to do Your work down here. Help me. And He says, I didn't tell you to do half that stuff. You know, so going back to Martha and Mary, you know, Jesus said, Martha, you're anxious. You're worried about many things. All I ask is that you sit here and listen. I didn't ask for a meal. My delight is to feed you. Let me teach you. Let me instruct you. Mary's chosen the better part. And we'll send out for pizza later. Okay. You see. But again, a lot of our burdens come to us because we run off doing things and all kinds of side issues, and we're all over God's green acre doing stuff that the Lord said, I never really asked you to do that. In fact, I want you to simplify your life and get focused on the more central things. You're majoring in all the minors of life. You know, again, even we do that to our kids, too. We overschedule them if we're not careful, right? You're going to play soccer, and we're going to get you to the flute lesson, so you're going to play in the band, and you're going to be on the debate team, and you're going to do all these things, and the poor kid is worn out. I remember one summer my father had me play football, do sailing lessons, and be on the swimming team. I actually landed with pneumonia in the hospital after all that, you know? A little overscheduled, you might say, all right? You know, be careful. Just because something's good doesn't mean you ought to do it. Again, oh, Lord, I'm down there trying to do all these great things, get my kids exposed to all these things, and we're all worn out and tired. Oh, come on, help us! And the Lord says, cut it out. My yoke, my burden, you put a lot of wood up on your shoulders that doesn't belong there. That is not what I'm asking you to carry. Now, you carry what I have for you. And that's what's going to benefit you. But the Lord does not make promises that our own burdens and yokes will be fine. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden for you is light. Now let's get to then look a little bit more at the idea of a yoke and a little bit of idea what the Lord means when He says his yoke is easy. He says here, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So, what's a yoke? I think most of us don't live agricultural lives these days, so we're less aware. But a yoke is basically some type of, usually a wooden device that's, like, think of a yoke that an animal's in, you know, and the animal, you can't put a rope around an animal's neck and ask it to pull a heavy load. The thing will choke to death, and all the weight's on a narrow little part of the neck. So what you do is you build a wooden truss, and you put the animal in that truss, and then the whole front of the animal can begin to move forward to pull the burden, pull the weight. So the yoke is that wooden device that's meant to help carry a heavy load. You might think of another version. Think of someone going to a well in the old days, and they'd have two big heavy buckets. And if you carry them with your hands, it hurts your fingers or your hands. It's too much weight on one little narrow part. So what they would do is they'd build a wooden sort of plank here, and they would put it across their shoulders and string the pails from the rope. And that's much easier to carry the load across your whole shoulder, you see. Now, so that's what a yoke is. A yoke is something usually made of wood that's meant to help us carry a heavy load. Now, the Lord, though, says, my yoke is easy. Now, be careful here. I think this is a sort of an unfortunate traditional translation of this text. The Greek word here that's translated easy is krestos. And krestos doesn't so much mean easy, as in no big deal, a cinch, you know, something like that. It means well-fitting or suited. So go back with me to a yoke. Now, I actually think this is an advertising slogan Jesus once used. Because a carpenter, and Jesus was, that was one of his trades, right? He was in the building trades with his father Joseph, and they one of the things they would do would be to craft yokes. So he would, but a carpenter didn't just throw something up on the shelf. He went to the animal and would work carefully to take this truss that you're building for the animal and carefully sculpt it in a way that meets the animal's contours, so that the yoke fits snugly. It's like a pair of old shoes, right? You can put on, they might have holes in the bottom of it, but they sure do fit well, don't they? Good, just a pair of old shoes, huh? And then you go buy new shoes, like, ooh, ouch, ah. And you get the blisters and the sores, you know? And it takes a while to break in the shoes. So a carpenter knew that. If you just threw an animal in any kind of a truss, it would blister and bleed the animal. So they would work carefully to make sure that the yoke was well-fitting. And that's literally what krestos means, well-fitting or suited. So what the Lord, I can almost imagine the Lord having outside the carpenter shop, you know, easy yokes sold here, right? It's like an advertising slogan, but there it is, and you've got, so the Lord is saying, look, it's like a yoke that a carpenter works carefully for. It's just right for the animal. But the Lord is saying the same thing. I do have a yoke for you, a cross. And I do have a burden, but they're suited for you. They're what you need. They fit well. They're not only what you need, but what's within the realm of the possible for you. All right? Now, I know if I'm going to design my own cross, I say, okay, Lord, I want the styrofoam model. I want a little red velvet cushion right here and a little turning wheel at the bottom, all right? You know? All right. Again, sometimes we have to remember it's still a yoke, it's still a burden. We're not saying there's no cross, but that the Lord carefully crafts and works these burdens and crosses or yokes for us. And that's very important. Because A, we need the cross, but B, the Lord is merciful even still in giving us these crosses, because these crosses are carefully designed to prepare us for eternity. Now the Lord says, therefore, look, I know you're burdened, that you find life burdensome, that you're laboring, that you're weary, that you're anxious about many things. Now come to me. The first thing is, I want you to understand, some of that stuff you're carrying, you're not supposed to be carrying. You come to me and listen, you take up my yoke for you. Take up my burden. Now come to me, carefully pray with me and discern with me. And let's find out what I have for you. And let's help you to get rid of all that other stuff that comes sometimes from sins. You know, our sins pile up a lot of wood on our shoulders. Sin, my brothers and sisters, as Paul says, brings death. Before it brings physical death, it brings spiritual death. We're anxious, we're worried, we're broke, we're addicted, God knows what else. Sin is a terrible burden. And the Lord says, come to me. Let's go to work and give you victory over these drives. Because you're not supposed to be carrying those kinds of burdens. I want you to be free of that. And then on top of that, you got a lot of just dumb ideas. Big idea. Ooh, I'm going to do something. It might be a good thing, but I don't want you to do that. I have somebody else who's going to take care of that. I want you. Take if you're a parent, you know? You got your kids running all over the place. You're running all over the place. You never even sit down to dinner together. They hardly ever hear from you. You just see each other rushing past the front door. Listen, stop. Simplify. Eat dinner together. You know, you got to, well, but I can't afford everything. I got to work 2 part-time jobs. And then sell that house and get a smaller house and get to know each other. But whatever the Lord tells you to do, I'm not here to micromanage your life. The Lord will sit down with you if you will go to Him and help you to be more focused so that you're not majoring in the minors and maximizing the minimum and minimizing the maximum. And help you to go to work and simplify and focus your life, see? So the Lord says, you come to me. I do have a yoke and a burden for you. But a lot of that stuff that you got going on, not from me. It's from your sin, it's from your own rash judgments, it's from your grandiosity, it's from whatever. But it's, you got to learn that no is a complete sentence. So that even if your pastor comes and says, would you please sit on the committee, you ought to pray first. Because your pastor may not be representing me in that moment, all right? He's asking you to discern. So I'll just take it on myself. If I come to you and ask you to get involved in something, you can say yes or you can say no. I just ask you to pray and talk to God about it. But remember, no is a complete sentence. You don't need to give lengthy explanations or apologies. Just say no. All right. We've seen the description. Burdened. Heavy. Life, we get weary. The Lord said, you come to me. Let's sort this stuff out. Let's find out what's really for you and what isn't. You go to work. Now, finally, though, we come to a kind of a depiction. Because you see, let me just give you the depiction. We've seen the description and the prescription. Here comes the depiction. He tries to paint a picture for us here. He says, look, you be more like little children. Little children. Develop a kind of a childlike simplicity with me and with my Father, says Jesus. Be more like little children. Little children, we talked about at the beginning of Mass today. Children are just filled with wonder and awe. Children say, wow! And they say, neat! And they say, how come? And oh, they're excited. They're joy. They're just, wow! They're amazed. They don't have all the answers. They say, why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? See what starts to happen to us when we become adults? Oh, we know a few things. I know all things. You know, you know a few things, a very few things. I know a few things, very few. But we think we know a lot, and we stop asking questions, and we start running. You know, children, when they're hurt or struggling, they instinctively run to Mommy and Daddy. And they say, oh, help! I'm scared! And they just know right away where to run. Are we that smart? See, we grow up, but we lose some of the things. You know, remember that old book, what was it? Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. So much wisdom we leave behind. Most of you who are parents, you'd be the first to tell me, you learn a lot from your kids, don't you? You don't just teach them, they teach you. There's a lot here. The Lord is saying, would you please begin to develop a humble, meek, childlike relationship with your Heavenly Father? Your Father loves you, and He's delighted when you come to Him. And He's waiting, waiting for you. But you become relentlessly adult. You say, I can fix the problem, I can solve it. And you wander off in your pride, and you think you know a few things, and you stop asking questions, and you stop being filled with wonder and awe and saying, wow, do I ever want to get to know the God that made all this stuff? Wow, He must be like really neat. And we just start to get very into our little stuff, into our world. And we become, as Jesus calls, among the learned and the clever. And we miss the most obvious lessons. Somebody came to me after Mass today and said, you know, you're right, Father. I have a hard time hearing God's voice. And so I said, look up. Beautiful blue sky. Beautiful pine trees. You know, we were out front there. Look at those roses. God is speaking right now. Learn to be a mystic on the move. God whispers, He speaks in creation, in the lives of people you've met, in this word. If you're prepared to accept that He's talking to you right now, God talks. He listens. If we will learn to be humble and listen and not think that we have all the answers, how much less burdened our life will be. In fact, a little bit of a digression here, but let me just say this. I'm going to just tell you that the heart of an awful lot of mental illness is that we just think too darn much. We just think, analyze, think some more, think, instead of just say, sigh and exhale and say, Lord, I don't have all the answers, but You do. Help me to trust You. We just think too much. One of the roots of the word shrink, you know, you go to the shrink, you know, the psychologist, you know. The reason that term took was, part of the job of a psychologist is to shrink the head or shrink the brain and enlarge the heart. We just think too much. And you start thinking too much about stuff, you start to get worried about a lot of stuff. Are you praying with me? You think, you know, now I don't mean never analyze or think at all, but I'm just telling you, be careful. an awful lot of our thoughts are not accurate. And we work up all kinds of stuff that we think we know, and we don't really know all the facts. We got to learn to just trust a lot more. In other words, don't believe everything you think. Be like a little child and say, is that true? How come? Why? Teach me some more. Read me a story, Mommy. Read me a story, Daddy. Read me a story, God. I don't know everything. We stop reading. We stop listening. We start pontificating. Now that's my job as a mom with a name like Pope. No, I'm just kidding. I hope that I first listen before I preach. But are you praying with me? Do you see what the Lord's getting at here? He's trying to paint a picture for us. Be more like little children in the presence of the Father. Run to Him instinctively and cry out to Him, Abba, Papa, Daddy God, I love you. I'm anxious about something. And you don't even have to multiply words. St. Augustine says, more things are accomplished in prayer by sighs and tears than many words. Here's a good prayer. Just go to God and say, oh. And God says, say no more. The Holy Spirit just translated all of it for me. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit is moaning and groaning. Go to Him and just say, oh, Daddy God, the list. I can't even remember all the stuff I'm supposed to pray for. But learn some silence to run to Him and sit there quietly and spend a little time with the Lord in prayer. Yes, says the Lord. Just to review now and we'll wrap it up. Yes, says the Lord. I know you're burdened. I know that you labor, that you're weary. You come to me. Let's start talking. Let's find out what's really of me and what I ask you to carry. And let's find out what isn't and help you to start to let go. Stay in a conversation with me. It's called prayer, y'all. Stay in that conversation. Think, pray, discern. There are probably some things you're doing that you need to stop doing. Certain activities that, good though they are, maybe you need to say, I need a little more time to be with my God, with myself, with my family, and do job one better. That's all right. Let the Lord show you. Don't just immediately run to the things you don't like. It might be something you do like, but you need less of it. And let me go to work in your life, says the Lord. You come to me. Come to me. And then finally, He paints a picture for us. Be more like little children. Meek, humble of heart, poor in spirit, knowing that you don't know everything, that you really do need God. Most of you know I've told you my story before. I'll just tell you this, and then I'm going to wrap it up with a quote from a song. But there was a time in my life when I was very, very anxious about many things. Many of you who have been in this parish a long time knew me in those years. It was in my mid-30s. But all through my life as a youth, I was very anxious about many things, and it just got worse as I got older, and it got so bad that at a certain point I was hospitalized. And I realized, and when I talked to my spiritual director, I said, Father, I want to get my life under control so that I'm never in this condition again. And he said, until you let go of the illusion of control, you will never be well. You go and get on your knees and beg God to help you remember He's in control. You see, control is an illusion. You can control a few things, but they're based on things you can't control. Like, for example, the next beat of your heart. Oh, I've got all my plans laid up for tomorrow, Father. It's all taken care of. Yeah, right. Tomorrow isn't promised. So somewhere along the line, we have to learn to trust God and be like little children. When I was a little child, I remember all I needed to know was that Mommy and Daddy were there, and I felt 100% better. You know, somewhere along the line, we've got to trust God. And that's only going to come if we run to Him and we say help, and we're more like little children who just instinctively trust their parents. And I know we have to unlearn some of that as we get older. Sometimes our parents couldn't help us. We learned that. Sometimes our parents were struggling more than we were. But I will say this, God isn't. God is the perfect Father. And God is a perfect parent for all of us. So, with all that in mind, the Lord says, I know you're weary. Come to me now. Let's get to work. Let's help you to get your life more focused and simplified. And let's help you to be more like a little child. Just trusting the Father. I want to end with this song. And if you ever want to have a good little, beautiful little theology of prayer, is it number 517 in your hymnal? You can look it up later and study it, memorize it. But it just says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and I've oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, oh, sweet hour of prayer. There's a beautiful line in the second verse that just says, and since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Go to the Lord like a little child. Let him begin, step by step, to remove the burdens, the heartaches, the labors. Amen.